This week on the show, we're discussing EB Games closing down in New Zealand and what that might mean for Australia. We're going to talk a little bit more about AI in video game development in the light of some recent news and stuff that happened over the break as well. And the last of our 2026 predictions. I'm your host, Ewan, and I'm joined today by my fellow gamers and co-hosts, James.
Hello.
And Shannon.
Hello. A little bit somber today, Ewan, I feel.
A little bit lower
energy. I don't know. Who just... feels like you were...
I felt like I was bringing that, my A game. Am I coming through weird?
I don't know. Maybe I'm weird.
All right. Well, thanks for the feedback, Shannon. I'll take that on. This is the Press Start Podcast, our weekly video game discussion podcast. Let's get on with the show. I want to start first by discussing a little bit of news that emerged today as of recording, and that is that it has been revealed that the actor Ryan Hurst will play Kratos in the Amazon Prime video adaptation of God of War. Ryan Hurst is perhaps best known for his roles on Sons of Anarchy, which I can't say I've watched, and The Walking Dead, which I did watch, but I can't remember him in it whatsoever. Presently, no other cast members have been confirmed for the God of War adaptation as of yet. Shannon, James, do either of you know Ryan Hurst? Are you familiar with him at all?
No, and also can't remember him from The Walking Dead either. Granted, I didn't watch the last few seasons.
Yeah, so I did fall off, so I guess that's when he was introduced. I will say he looks the part based on the image that came out today.
He's not bald, so I feel like I want to see him bald before I can make my final judgment.
I think they'll make that happen.
Well, you would hope so. Imagine he's not bald.
I mean, I don't know. Apparently, he voiced Thor in
Thor.
Ragnarok.
Yeah,
he voiced
in the game.
Oh, right. Gotcha. Very cool.
Very dynamic.
I was like, did Chris Hemsworth voice Thor?
I think he's a gamer. Like, I don't know. I was reading some stuff about him, and he seems to be a gamer. So okay. He seems to actually like the franchise, which is cool. I mean, he looks like a rough dude. So
is that to say voice... he's a gamer or he would look good as Kratos?
No. Like, as the part of Kratos. Like, Kratos has been through it through multiple generations of time. It's been knocked back a million times, you could say. I need to hear him speak as well, because Kratos is a very unique voice. Like, that, it's almost, the voice is more important almost than how he looks, I think, at this point.
Yeah, that's true. We should do some research. Check out some.
Or will Chris Judge just dub him or something?
I hope they don't do that. I was going to say, I do hope they he shaves his head for the role too. I just feel like a bald cap just isn't going to quite do the same. But I'm wondering,
I didn't even think of that,
how far they go with the makeup and because Kratos is, I mean, at least I guess in the games I'm most familiar with, right? Like, quite pale skinned, and I don't know, to the point where I feel like to achieve that effect on TV, you're kind of putting makeup all over them. I don't know. I'm curious to see how it all comes together. He definitely looks like he's got the kind of physique for the role, though.
My gut feeling is they might be a little more subtle with it, because I think if they get it wrong, if they go for that one-for-one with, the really vibrant red, it could look costumey in a way that isn't good for the tone of the show, I think.
Maybe they'll, I don't know, kind of strip it back, make it a little bit more kind of Vikings-esque or something like that. That could be cool. James, you've been mighty quiet. Any thoughts on this?
No.
Mulling it over.
I don't have any thoughts, sorry. It's cool. I don't know.
Well, I'm curious to see how the rest of the cast comes together. I think it's due. Is it due later this? Do we have a release date when this is coming out? Surely we'd know more of the cast if it was coming this year.
It's been in the works for a while, but yeah, I feel like it must be a while away if they're just casting that now or shooting now.
Speaking of things that are coming this year, though, we had a release date leaked for Forza Horizon 6. It was only announced in September, but it looks set to be coming out the first half of this year in a since-removed mention in Forza Horizon 5. A pop-up revealed in the past Forza game suggested that the game would be launching on March 19th or May 15th for the premium edition, which gives you some early access. If it comes out in March, as this would suggest, it would come out alongside the likes of 007 First Light and Lego Batman Legacy of the Dark Knight to paint a bit of a picture of what that release month is looking like for you. James, first to you, firstly, I guess, like, are you surprised by this news? And what's your kind of reaction to it?
Can I just clarify? It's May, isn't it?
What did I say?
I think it is May.
I meant to say
you
May.
Said both.
Said March.
Oh, I said like, March. Yeah. Oh, thank you. Is it,
no,
the other M month.
That's even earlier than I thought. Yeah. But yeah, I...
Sorry.
No, I thought... Yeah, so it's... Like, yeah, it's earlier than I thought, which is what my thoughts were before. But, yeah, I don't know. Do they normally come out? I feel like they're normally, like, October games.
Yeah, I was going to say, no, I feel like September, October sort of time.
But I do feel like, because I remember I was at the E3 that the Australian one was announced, and then it was out, like, that year. And, I do feel like they normally have a short...
June-ish kind of, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they do have a short announced to release.
Yeah, E3, and then it's that year, so...
Yeah.
But cool.
I mean, if we think Fable is this year, I think it makes sense for this to be earlier.
Yeah.
Right? Not that they're the same game, but I just think in the slate of this year, based on what we know, it makes sense.
I guess in the context of Game Pass 2, like, they probably need to have it more spaced out. So.
And they've also got things like, you know, Call of Duty's in their slate and stuff now as well, right? Which kind of come out towards the back of the year regardless. So, and we've got GTA kind of sat there, so... it wouldn't surprise me if we've got more games kind of earlier in the month.
I could see it. I think they'd want to get it out on PS5 and maybe Switch 2 if that's a possibility for Christmas, because I think that's a game that a lot of people will buy for Christmas. Like, it's just a good evergreen game.
Yeah. Forza Horizon 5 has done like gangbusters on PS5, hasn't it?
I know. Mm-hmm. I think 5 million copies they said it's sold on PS5 alone, which is a lot of money for an old game.
To be fair, I just don't think anything in this sort of genre, or maybe like sub-genre if we consider it like more an arcade sort of racer, I just don't think anything else comes close in quality to the Forza Horizon series, and it's been that way for a while.
Not only that, there's just like nothing really anymore. Like, there's no Burnout, there's no real like Need for Speed, like there's just not a lot of arcade
I think
racer.
The closest thing was like The Crew. Maybe.
Yeah,
I don't think that ever.
But,
like,
yeah, I just don't think that was kind of on the same level quality wise. I'm really excited for Forza Horizon 6. The fact that it's going to be kind of set in Japan as well, like, has me really excited. Take me back to those like Need for Speed Carbon sort of underground sort of era. That'd be sick. I think this has a really good chance of being one of the year's best games. And so to get it in May is very exciting. It's my birthday in May, so I might well spend it.
It's going to be May.
Playing a lot of this. last week, you might recall, we had... Well, no, not last week. Was it the week before last? We did our predictions for the year.
It was last week.
Okay. Brody, unfortunately, couldn't make the show. We were hoping to have him on today. In his absence, we kind of made up predictions for him. And although he's unfortunately still crook and couldn't be on the show today, he did write into the show, in a way, and update his predictions. You might recall we suggested that Judas will come out in July, the new Bioshock will be cancelled, and Half-Life 3 will come out this year. Here's Brody's revisions, and I'm curious for your opinion on the changes that he's made. Firstly, contrary to James's belief, Judas won't release this year at all. Brody, James, do you think there's a chance that Brody's correct with that one?
Nah, I think it is this year. It's time.
Surely it has to be, right?
We
saw like a proper reveal of it last year too. Like, was that last year? Or was that even the year before? But like a more of a deep dive. I just feel like the time is right for this.
The stakes are almost bigger for Brody now, because it's like he's got to battle this with James, and then he needs to get the prediction to get a point.
He's kind of set himself up for that, isn't he, really? A bit of a battle.
Mm.
His second prediction was, after much speculation, OD's development will cease and the game will be canned. Shannon, have you seen any indication that that might eventuate?
I don't... Like, I know why he could think that, and I do think it's weird. It's like how slow that's been, but I just think like Xbox aren't going to cancel it, knowing it's Kojima, and Kojima's not going to cancel it. I don't think so. I just can't see that happening.
I also feel like it's been quiet because the focus for them has really been on Death Stranding.
Yeah, and
like he's
and this always felt like a with it. experimental product, like a project on the side, I guess.
I do think maybe a better prediction, not that we're changing his again, is like maybe it is coming this year, but it's like in some, it's not a game per se, like in the sense that you sit down and play it from beginning to end for like 10 to 12 hours or something, right? Like I feel like there is something like maybe episodic to it, or like it's like OD part one or some shit. Like I feel like there is some kind of weird distribution method to it potentially. But I do think it's still on track.
Yeah, I'm convinced this is still like an anthology series of likes. Maybe kind of a bit Dark Pictures-esque, with like kind of working with different directors and writers and stuff for kind of each episode. That's my prediction. And yeah, I don't think it'll be cancelled. I think it's still like a while away.
I mean, but yeah. I guess if it's like bad, like I don't think the Jim would put out a bad game if he felt the concept wasn't there, but I think we've seen enough, like he's got actors and stuff attached now. So it's like, I just don't see, I think we're past that point now.
Yeah. I just feel like it's a bit of a passion project and I doubt he's going to let that go. It might chop and change a bit, sure. But yeah, I hope it still sees a light of day. Brody's last prediction, though, is that let's leave the third one intact. Out of pure wish fulfillment, Half-Life 3 lives in 2026, is his prediction. So he's sticking with the one that we put forward there.
And I believe it. I think it's going to happen. If it doesn't happen this year, it's not happening.
Kind of one of those situations like where there's enough smoke, there's fire. Like I just feel like there's enough kind of rumblings about it happening that there's got to be some kind of truth to it. That and the Steam machine obviously kind of coming out and Steam kind of continuing to invest in the hardware. You'd hope they have some software to kind of support it too.
I do love that he just wanted to stay away from BioShock. Like he just didn't even want to entertain that idea of a thing that could happen or not happen in any capacity.
I don't think he wants to jinx it one way or another. I must admit, I'm a little bit concerned about where that BioShock game's at. Speaking of concerns, though, let's talk about EB Games now closing down all 38 stores in New Zealand on January 31st, so only a couple of weeks away, and their distribution center set to close later at the end of February. It has been reported that the company received numerous offers, but, quote, these parties did not present any proposals or solutions about how to keep the New Zealand business sustainable. Shannon, obviously, looking at this, kind of across the Tasman, I think it is over in New Zealand, would be a bit of a concern to Australian gamers and particularly fans of EB Games as well. What do you think this means for the future of game retailers in Australia?
Yeah, it's a hard one. To be honest, I don't know anything about the New Zealand market to know enough about any of this. So I don't know like why it's not been successful over there in that capacity. Like, I think it's no secret at this point that physical games are sort of going down, like profitability on actual games are going down, which is why we've seen EB move to other markets and move to things like EB Plus as a way of getting money in. Like, I don't know if that sort of stuff existed in New Zealand. And maybe there's just more stores in Australia that they can just make better business decisions. I don't think it means Australia is going to close. I think EB has been making decisions and doing things to help the situation for months and years in terms of like closing stores and whatever. So like it's having to stay on its toes to make good business decisions. I don't know why that didn't work for New Zealand. Maybe it was to keep Australia afloat because it is the more profitable of the two.
Based on what you just said, there's 30-something stores in New Zealand, or was. There's 300 and something in Australia. Like, I feel like if, say, a few don't perform as well, you kind of make up for it with the others.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas I think with only 30 stores, that's probably not as, you know, what's the word? Flexible, I guess. You can't really survive bad years as much.
And New Zealand's a much smaller market than Australia. It's fair to say.
I've read all these stories already has come up on my page on my feed about the New Zealand retail market that I never click on, but it does seem to be doom and gloom. So I don't know if this is like totally unsurprising. I just think also like shopping centers are getting so like greedy with rent and stuff
yeah,
from small business owners and big business owners and stuff. So that also doesn't help in the face of like people shopping more online and stuff like that too. So
yeah, I think every industry stuff at the moment, as we've said a million times on this podcast, and the retail industry isn't immune from that. Like Amazon is obviously hit in a big way in Australia. I don't know how big it's hit in New Zealand or if it's hit at all, to be honest. But I just think for, yeah, the reasons Jane just said, re-rent and everything else, it's just very different to the online space. But again, I think eBay's done some cool things. Like I needed a copy of Lego Harry Potter and I was able to Uber it, like a pre-owned copy from the store, and it was here in like an hour. So like there's stuff that they've done that just works and is keeping them afloat. I do think there's tough years ahead for EB just based on what we know about like things like Game Pass and Nintendo, PlayStation and Xbox want to move people to digital. Like that's not a secret at this point. So it's like,
yeah,
how does EB combat that? Which I think they've done, but it's like, I don't know. Yeah. If they can keep 300 plus stores and be successful in 5 years.
I've gradually been moving more and more digitally. Like, I think it's also a consequence of, you know, moving out and, like, having my own space and not having, not being able to afford a big place and having room for all these physical games anymore. So I was starting to kind of get stuff more digitally. Services like Xbox Game Pass came along. I spent more time on my Switch and kind of portability of that is super beneficial as well, right? So that's definitely been a factor for me, but I kind of do sort of feel like there is just, maybe it's the kind of cost of living crisis that we're in as well, but I just kind of feel anecdotally talking to mates and stuff, people aren't rushing out and buying a game quite as once they did.
And it's people just play Fortnite. It's like, that's all they're playing.
Something long-term live service like that. Yeah,
like you can still buy V-Bucks from EB, but I assume EB's not making money or like very little if anything, so it's like that's not really helping them in any way except getting into a store.
That and you've had kind of competitors kind of undercutting them and selling games at like near cost, I would have to assume, as a means of kind of bringing people into their store and hoping they pick up kind of other things. I feel like that's been a part of Amazon's strategy as well for a wee while too.
I think what I like about EB is they're moving to like doing things like retro and retro trades and stuff. Again, I don't know if that's like a game changing business move, but I think it at least is keeping people going into stores and like providing something that like other retailers aren't doing apart from like eBay and StockX and stuff.
And you're right as well with the example, like if there's something you're kind of looking for that's maybe a little older, like EB's just so good for that, and having the catalog online and seeing where you can kind of pick it up for a click and collect or whatever. Like I'm very appreciative of that. It's not long ago I bought the Resistance trilogy because I was like, I need a way to play these games.
How's that going?
I played a bit of the first one. I have not played more than that. But I mean, the fact that you could quickly and easily do that, I was very appreciative of as well. I think that was kind of when I think they started taking those older trades, or they kind of put them online again recently, right? I hope the day doesn't come where like a brick and mortar video game store doesn't exist. Because I've just had like such, I don't know, there's a lot of sentimentality in going for those midnight releases or being there and chatting to the person behind the desk and getting some recommendations off them, that kind of thing. It'd be a shame to lose that for the sake of buying games digitally or online.
Like, I don't know how many stores EB's closed. They've been closing stores. Like, my local stores have closed. Like, I know other stores are in the process of, like, they're making those moves mostly for business decisions, which is a good thing because it's like they're looking at it quite actively and, like, not letting stores just sit there if they're not doing well. So I think that's a positive move. So I think it'll be a situation where, like, we just get less and less stores. But then hopefully that puts them in a better position as like a boutique gaming retailer.
Yep.
Let's see. But who knows? Who knows what the world's going to do?
It could all be over before AI we get there.
Which we're going to segue. What a segue.
You set me up nicely there. Yeah, I do want to talk about AI in video games somewhat more. I know we've discussed it already in past episodes, but some news has kind of been bubbling up over the last couple of weeks that I wanted to address. So yeah, following the recent scrutiny that AI was a part of the pre-production at Larian Studios, the developers of the hit RPG Baldur's Gate 3, their CEO has come out and defended their use of AI. Sven Vinky took to Reddit stating that the studio will not generate creative assets that end up in the game without being 100% sure about the origins of the training data and the consent of those who created that data. He added, to ensure there is no room for doubt, we've decided to refrain from using Gen AI tools during concept art development. Sandfall Interactive, who made Clair Obscur Expedition 33, of course, also had two indie game awards stripped from them after it was revealed AI-generated textures were briefly included in the game. They were patched out 5 days later with the studio blaming a mistake in their QA process. Bit to get into there, but James, maybe first to you, just more broadly, how concerned are you about the use of AI in game development?
I don't really know. I mean, obviously, I'm not like a huge fan, but I do also suspect it's happening a lot more than the people who have accidentally mentioned that they use it or whatever. Like, I feel like there is a lot more of it going on. I don't think. I think it's the same that I felt about it all the the whole time. Is like, I feel like, sure, there it may seem like this really good idea to some as this kind of short term game, but I feel like long term it's nothing but bad, right? Like, I feel like everything like unique will dry up, and so much of the stuff we create is like a result of our experiences and stuff. So like, people will. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, it's like better kind of born from like human experiences, as
like stories and like emotions and all of that stuff that like kind of drives like creativity in industries like this. That's all because like we've experienced these things as people. So like, it's I think like long term, like it's awful. But the reality is, like, I think a lot of people don't look at it that way, unfortunately. I just see it as a time saver. I hate talking about AI because I feel like there was like a lot of nuance to this. Like, I feel like a lot of people say in the Clair Obscur situation, I think it's kind of ridiculous almost that they stripped those two awards from that team because they left a placeholder texture in there. Like, I think that is like very knee-jerk and very, I don't know. Yeah. I just think that's like a crazy.
Just to jump in there a little bit, I think the indie game awards have kind of come out and defended that, saying that as part of the application process, they were informed that Gen AI wasn't used in the game development, and then when it was revealed that it was, they declared that kind of a breach of their regulations. Yeah, I guess like that. So I think it's a defensible position, but I don't necessarily agree with it personally. I think it's a bit harsh.
I think like the discussion around AI is just, there's a little bit more nuance to it than a lot of people care to admit. And I feel like, especially like you look at like the normal AI use versus Gen AI. Like, I think Gen AI, where you're creating something that's meant to be out of thin air, is like shit. But I do think there is maybe a place for AI in terms of just automating some very tedious work.
That exists in games and has existed in games for a decade, right? Like, when we're looking at like No Man's Sky, like a lot of that is, it's not Gen AI, but it's using AI to create. Like, it's not everything in those games aren't like handcrafted by a person.
I think there is a technical element to that, like procedural generation kind.
Yeah,
of.
And like someone's.
Procedural generation is pulling. So, like, the developer is creating a pool of, like, think of it as like Lego, right? Like, you've got all these bits that are already that they've created,
they've made
and
all
then
the blocks,
it's creating something from that.
Yeah,
that is literally. That's not the same thing, Shannon. In any
it's
way,
it's not the like, same thing. But is it better? Is it like, better than someone handcrafting it? I don't know. I don't think it's better than
what?
Starfield is. Yeah, no. I'm saying it's still worse to me than someone handcrafting world. I'm not saying it's worse than Gen AI. It's
procedurally generated. Like, that's a whole other, like,
yeah, there's
it is.
Like,
I just
like,
do that.
I could say the same about Hades. Like, obviously, but it depends on how it's used. Like, in Hades, every single room is procedurally generated, but it's made from a set of assets that the team has created. Like, And the gameplay kind of supports that. And like, sure, like No Man's Sky launch is a very good example of maybe how that's not so good. And same with Starfield, especially. But like that's still something else entirely to what Jedi think, like.
Yeah. No. I'm agreeing with you. I'm not disagreeing. Shut up, James. I'm just saying
that. I didn't say anything. You're
that's
talking.
An example of AI being used in games for this, like a similar thing, but it's different. I get it.
I think part of the issue is that like the term AI doesn't really like reflect what like Gen AI kind of is.
I agree, like, and that's what I'm trying to say is like people are conflating all of these different things. Like a procedurally generated game is not the same as a Gen AI.
Like
game.
If you're using it to create. Like, a texture like of a plant that ends up being left in. I don't think that's like, I think it's watering down the issue if you're stripping awards from people. Again, I think it's their choice because it's their awards who they give it to them. But I just think it waters down the whole thing if it was a genuine mistake and it's like one minor thing. Like, are you really going to strip that entire game for that one minor thing that doesn't actually have any impact on the game or anything?
I again think it's harsh that they've what they've done, but I also understand their sort of position, and I can also understand the position of other devs that go like, "Well, hang on, like I put my blood, sweat, and tears into this. It was entirely my own creation, and there is still the ongoing issue, right, of like those using AI. We don't really know what the sources of it is, and therefore." You know, it could be stealing kind of creativity from other people.
What if people are using Gen AI for coding or so? Like, what if people are using AI for coding or
I'm sure they
to
are.
Build models?
Yeah, yeah. And there's a good chance that people already are or they will, right? I think it's super murky. I appreciate Larian's stance on this. And, like, I think that they've kind of come forward and kind of, I guess, like, defined their internal policies around the use of AI. I think it's good to be transparent with that. And ultimately, I think it's kind of just, like, should be up to the discretion of gamers as to, like, whether or not they're taking issue with it. And I also don't fault, like, different awards for deciding their own terms. If any use of AI means you no longer qualify for one of their awards, then sure, fine, whatever. Personally, I don't think it kind of phases me all that much. I actually sort of feel that, like, at least at the moment, I haven't seen AI that is, like, capable of replacing human creativity. Like, as far as I've seen, like, I don't think AI is going to make a game that is nearly as good as to what a talented artist or developer could produce.
No, I agree with that.
So, but I think, you know, for the sake of, like, workshopping ideas or like I don't know, testing some things or that as a tool for someone to use to kind of just like spitball ideas, I think it's kind of fine and we shouldn't knock it for that. I don't think anyone's like necessarily losing their, like, I don't think a concept artist is losing their job to AI. And at the end of the day, someone has to sort of prompt it and like finesse the idea. And,
I think not like, for a good game and like a reputable game studio, that's not going to happen. I think obviously there could be like indie games or like slop games that maybe like end up being good that like occasionally one in a million, like this could happen too. But I don't think it's like Naughty Dog are going to, come out and start using AI for their art.
Yeah. I think they'd be doing
what's
themselves
that be a story like tomorrow.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a space
all of this
watching.
Shit's murky.
I don't think we're necessarily going to solve it today or have much of an answer. But
if it's going to be solved, it's going to be right here.
It's going to be right here in this podcast, yeah. I do think Larian's like approach to just kind of being transparent about their use of it is the right approach to take. Like, I don't know, refraining from including final assets in the game, but also just kind of being a bit discerning, as I would expect anyone to what they kind of get as an end result. Not just putting... Shannon's looking at me confused. Am I making any sense?
No,
not just
like,
taking
know,
what you get from the AI and chucking it in the game. Like, you needing to be a bit more discerning than that. That's what I'm trying to say. I do have a rapid-fire question for you both, if you're ready to move on.
Yeah,
I think so.
LEGO has unveiled their first Pokemon sets, and they are banging. The range includes an epic Venusaur... Venusaur? It's been so long since
Venusaur.
Thank you. It's been so long since I've had to say these words. Charizard and Blastoise set that comes to a total of $1,000. I think that's already sold out, right, Shannon?
Mm-hmm.
There's also an Eevee set and a Pikachu and Pokeball set. Is the Eevee set $100 and then the Pikachu and Pokeball set $300? Have I got that right? Okay,
correct.
There is a more affordable set in there at $100, I guess. Shannon, I know you've got a little bit of Lego. Would you be tempted to part with the cash to purchase any of these bad boys?
The Venusaur Charizard Blastoise one is cool, but $1,000, I don't think I'd ever spend on a Lego set. I think if I was going to buy one, it'd be a Pikachu and Pokeball, but I don't like the Pikachu. It looks not good.
Oh, so really?
It's like, I don't... It just doesn't look like the head. The head is off. And I know there's like restraints in Lego, but if you're going to create such an iconic character, I think it just has to look better.
Oh, okay. I can't say I'm looking at it again. It looks fine to me.
Okay. It's hideous.
poor Lego Pikachu. I like the stand as like the lightning bolt.
Yeah,
that's
really the face.
Touch.
The face is off.
I mean, Pikachu's looked all sorts of different ways, right? The more front-on view, he looks...
Not like that.
Pretty.
He's never looked...
Janky. Like, it doesn't... The body, like, it looks like... Lego normally looks smooth and, like, well put together. Like, this just looks like they've got random bits and shoved it together. Like a robot Pikachu.
Wow. I hope the
designer of the set's like it. I think this is really... It's a really cool collaboration. I think we're going to see a lot more of these.
I'm amazed it's not happened sooner, in all truth. I will say I'm a little bit disappointed that the, like, Venusaur, Charizard, and Blastoise, like, didn't come separately. I think that would have been cool if they were, like, individual characters that could kind of piece together to form like that one single statue. And it leans into the idea of like, got to collect them all as well, right? So I'm a little bit disappointed that they didn't do that, because I would have probably just bought the Blastoise set and been done with it. Or maybe the Charizard. But then I'd be like, well,
similarly,
I'm here, so
like the bonuses being the gym badges, which is cool. And there's also a little Poke Center, which I really think is cool as well.
Not that you can get any of those bonuses anymore, right?
No, but I think they're cool. So I do hope we see more of that kind of stuff, because I think there's a lot of like a Pokeball Lego would be cool.
Yeah.
James,
taking
I like it.
From your stance on the look of the Pikachu, you'd be opting against any of these.
I don't really like Lego. Like, I've never.
Oh, you're not
like
a Lego guy.
The only Lego I bought was the Mario and Yoshi one, because it was pixelated. It looked like the thing. I don't like how stuff looks like. It's not my vibe. I just think like, I don't know. I hate Pokemon. I just hate
show you what I made over the break? A little show and tell.
I mean, it's a rapid fire, but that's okay. I'll just wait.
Stay with me.
My point was, I don't know, I feel like the market for this is like, I just don't like the culture around like Pokemon, in terms of everything is like so expensive and everything is scalped, and I know that's not their fault necessarily, but like just all of it is fucked.
Yeah.
You know? I just feel like this is especially this is not for kids in any way, and I feel like maybe I'm being a bit jaded or something.
And why should it be?
It should be. Well,
anyway. I think this is a little bit more of an anomaly, in that like there seems to be a lot of hype around these Pokemon sets, but I hope that kind of down the line they become available again for anyone that wants them. That sometimes happens. Like the set initially comes out, everyone snaps it up, and then you can get it like a year later at the normal price. So here's what I made over the break.
Is that Lego?
It's Lego. It's a Lego alien face hugger that is
actually... Is that official?
No, it's not. It's buy the $20 Easter Bunny set, and you can make yourself one of these with some bootleg instructions online.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah,
it is cool.
Yeah.
So you couldn't do
you've just made James a Lego fan. Yeah.
I can't remember the name of the guy that came up with those instructions, but shout out to him, because it's really impressive.
Does it walk?
It is cool.
It doesn't walk, I'm afraid. Okay. No. That's I'm trying to like find the best way to stand it, but it's not really built for that.
Can you wrap its tail around something? And, like hang it off something? No.
Like that? No.
Okay.
No. It does like bend a little bit, but
oh cool, you should just wrap that around like I don't know, like a curtain pole or something.
No, that'd be fun.
Your microphone. Just glue it to your mic.
Let's wrap up that show and tell then and segue over to What the Wiki, the Press Start podcast game show with the previous week's winner reads part of a Wikipedia page for an unknown game, and we, the contestants, must guess the game. A point is awarded for each correct guess, with the round concluding after someone has bagged themselves 2 points. Last week, James took home the points, doing it in a clean sweep, which earned him a bonus point as well. So, James, you are already sitting atop the leaderboard on 3 points. I'm a point behind, having picked one up in the trivia round afterwards. Shannon, I'm just realizing neither of us have prepped prep trivia for James, have we? I always forget.
Do it for him.
You want to do it? Okay.
Yeah.
This could be interesting. But James, you are the host today. Take it away when you're ready.
Okay, are we ready?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
This game is an action role-playing game that can be played from both first-person and third-person views. Players can use magic, melee weapons, and firearms to defeat enemies. A wide variety of spells, such as those that freeze or entangle foes, can be combined with physical attacks. For instance, freezing an enemy may set it up for a crushing melee strike. Players can quickly switch between several combat setups, including dual-wielding pistols or wands.
Wielding Shannon. Two-handed...
Yes, Shannon.
Avowed.
It is Avowed, Shannon. Oh, congratulations.
Well done, thank you. Shannon.
Announced in the
I'm
last
here,
week
I've arrived.
To be coming to PS5
next month. I think I'm going to play it.
Great game. Yeah, I would encourage. It's a good game.
Now that it's on.
I enjoyed next. It. James is shaking his head. Didn't like it.
No, it's just like, he could have played it all year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would mean dusting off his Xbox, though, and that's unlikely to happen.
True. I don't know about this now. Okay, this game is an action role-playing game played from a third-person perspective. In the game, the player controls Tokugawa Takachiyo, the grandchild of Tokugawa Ieyasu, who battles yokai and supernatural beings as he ascends to the role of shogun. Similar to the last game, players will be able to fully customize the protagonist's appearance. The game features two distinct play styles. The samurai style plays similarly to previous games, while players having access to three weapon stances. The game also introduces a new ninja play style, which is faster, evasion focused, and excels at aerial attacks.
This could be like 4,000 games that have been out in the last year alone.
This is not a Ewan and Shannon game.
Unlike its predecessors, this game is less linear and features large explorable spaces. Players can discover points of interest where they can find and complete side quests or optional combat challenges. In addition to the single player mode, the game also has two online multiplayer modes, one in which the player can summon another player for assistance, and Expedition, which allows players to explore the open fields together.
Do you have clues?
Yeah, I mean, I'm reading the
article.
Although its predecessor acted as a prequel to the original game, this game takes place after all the events of the previous games.
Okay.
Maybe that will help.
I think I can get away without a whiteboard. Now, I'm latching onto the word... Ewan.
Yes.
I'm latching onto the word ninja here, and a series that I don't know much about, so maybe that is this. Is this Ninja Gaiden 3?
No.
Shannon.
We just had Ninja Gaiden 4, so no.
Is it Ninja Gaiden 4?
No, it's not.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
The game is in development by Team Ninja, marking it as the first game in the series without involvement from fellow division Kushubasawa and publisher Sony Interactive Entertainment. Fumihiko Yasuda, director of the previous game, serves as the general producer. The team wanted to create a new kind of action that would act as a major centerpiece that marks the evolution of the series' gameplay formula. Popularity of ninjas in areas outside of Japan and the team's experience making Ninja Gaiden games also contributed to the decision. To further differentiate the gameplay between samurai and ninja, the team decided not to give the ninja key pulse mechanics, despite it being one of the signature gameplay elements in the past games.
I don't know if any of this is going to help.
Just keep going. I'm getting it's coming to me.
It's the upcoming one, isn't it? I just can't remember what it's called. This is where I'm at.
The game is an upcoming action role-playing game developed by Team Ninja and published by Koei Tecmo. The third installment in the series, the game is set to release for PS5 and Windows on February 6, 2026.
Okay, I'm just going to rule some stuff out loud in the hope that it helps either Shan or myself. Oh my Ragebound was the side-scrolling one, so...
It might not be... Yeah, okay.
That's not Ninja Gaiden, I don't think, is it?
No. I think we established that. No. Is that, haven't we?
No, it's not.
I've like read the whole article.
Yeah. It's not Ninja Gaiden. I know what it is, I just don't know the name of it.
Are we skipping?
Can I just get it because Ewan thinks it's Ninja Gaiden?
Well, no.
What is it? Onimusha Way of the Sword?
No.
If not Ninja Gaiden? No. Don't think so.
You're focusing on the ninja side too much.
Yeah. Oh, well,
it is a ninja game.
The way you looked at me suggested I was barking up the right tree. That's I just read into
is
that.
Is shadow a word in it?
No.
It was just at the Game Awards, wasn't it?
I don't know. Yes, it was. You're right.
I got nothing.
I feel like we've hit a wall. Are we going to have to skip?
Can you give us like some really awful clues?
No, I've got two more, but so
I feel like I'm yep.
Go for so it.
Happy,
what is it?
Happy. To, wow. Yeah. Okay. So it is Neo 3.
Oh bollocks! I should have.
not bollocks.
Oh, I should have. Yeah. Okay. Not a series I knew know anything about, but yeah. I was aware that was coming out this year, and I should have figured that out.
Okay, well, this one...
It's embarrassing.
This will be quick. This one will be quick, I reckon.
I'm glad we don't award James points when he stumps us.
We should, though.
No, we shouldn't.
No, that would be too easy.
Because you would give us the most ridiculous games, yeah.
Yeah, I would. Okay, the gameplay of this game consists of playing matches as 38 characters from the franchise on which it's based. Okay. The most in series history. The character... Yeah,
I should have jumped in there.
Mario Tennis Fever.
It Don't. Is Mario Tennis Fever. Oh. Congratulations, Shannon.
Thank you.
Oh my god, he's clean sweeping.
No, does it count as a sweep when you didn't get the second game?
Yeah, of course it does. You didn't get a point.
I feel like if it's stumps everyone, you get a second chance there. I don't know. We'll let Brody adjudicate.
No, I'm saying I'm the boss. I'm saying yes.
he's pulling the boss card. Watch out. is dire.
Trivia question.
That Mario Tennis. I'm sorry, but that is this a personal vendetta? Is this you getting your revenge on me? Because that is such a Shannon coded game.
Okay, it is. It is. And I no, that's not why. But although you deserve that after what you did to me last year, but yeah. I think like. It's coming out. It's the talk of the town. There's no excuse for not knowing that.
Mario Tennis, the talk of the town.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Resident Evil has an insane variety of weaponry. Okay. Which of these are not usable? A bow and arrow.
Which game?
A laser gun.
Just the series, all of them. I think.
A flintlock pistol, a flamethrower, a railgun, a minigun.
Okay, hang on. There are so many options.
There's four. That's the rules, first of all.
I'm being so nice, I'm giving you seven. Is that better?
It's trivia.
Okay. a laser gun, a flintlock pistol, a rail gun, or a bow and arrow?
Are you saying which one isn't?
Yeah, which one has not been in a Resident Evil game? A bow and arrow, a flintlock pistol, a laser gun, a rail gun.
A flintlock pistol.
Correct.
Wow. Well done, James.
Thanks.
And with that bonus point that James has picked up there, he defends his lead, although Shannon did momentarily draw level up on 3 points, and then myself on 1 point. I gotta be careful here. I could pull very far behind in the blink of an eye if I'm not careful. With that, though, let's bring an end to what was this week's episode of the Press Start podcast. Subscribe to us on Listener or the podcast service of your choice. Follow us at pressstart.au and visit the site at pressstart.com.au. We've been joined today by Shannon.
Yeah, you can follow me at Shannon Grixty.
Also joining us today, it was James.
Yes, you can find me at James on Twitter, ATJMZ, or on Blue Sky.
And I've been your host, Ewan. You can follow me on socials at Ewan_Roxburgh. We'll be back again next week, hopefully with Brody in tow too. But until then, happy gaming.
Bye.
Bye.